It's time to link up for Is Missing That with Deputy Mayor Desley Simpson.
Morena Desley.
Morena to you both. How are you this wonderful morning?
We're good, thank you. How are you? Good.
Well, I'm great. I'm actually still basking in the glow of a premiere movie I went to on Tuesday night, a New Zealand movie, which goes live today, which is called Tenor, My Name is Pati. And it is a musical documentary about a Samoan family, started off in Samoa, came to South Auckland, lived in Mangere, and the Pati family, they had two boys, Pene and Amitai, and they've gone on to be global sensations in the opera world. And it is the most amazing documentary about family, faith, determination, music, and I know opera probably isn't your major audience here, but Rebecca Tansley is a Kiwi filmmaker, and it is it's just inspiring for Pacifica Kiwis in Tamaki Makaurau, and the power of a teacher who has taken a kid that was sort of pushed into what everyone thought would be a rugby, you know, recreational sport at school, into music, and they are now, you know, global sensations performing at the Metropolitan Opera in New York. It is the most amazing story, and
beautiful.
It is just Pene Pate was on stage, and he basically said, "If you imagine it, you can do it." And it is just inspirational for anybody out there to break all barriers. And do what you really believe in and what you want to do. It's awesome. And it goes live today in Rialto Theatre. Sorry, that's just starting with a major plug. It's just, I just thought it was fabulous.
Oh, love it, Desley. Nice, I feel like we needed that message this morning, because we're talking big things. We're talking the annual plan for 2026 and 2027. It's out now for public consultation. Tell us a little bit about what's in this annual plan.
Look, every year we put our plan out to Aucklanders to ask them for feedback, and really it's about setting out what our services and activities and our investments will be in our wonderful city ahead, and how we intend to pay and deliver on you know that. So it's got some big stuff in there. It's got everything from transport, you know, Rosedale bus stations and more sports fields development. It's got investment in water, like up at Wellsford, progressing a new water treatment plant up there. It's got community facilities, it's got playgrounds, it's got, you know, all sorts of things in it that cities do to make our place better for Aucklanders. And then it actually talks about how we intend to pay for it. So there are six questions that we are asking Aucklanders for their feedback on. And the first question is about, you know, it's the big one, you know, what do you think of the overall plan and the proposed rates increases? And I need to front foot the rates increase. Look, it's the highest rates increase that we have ever had. It's 7.9%. And I'm the first to acknowledge that, you know, that's going to be tough for some Aucklanders.
Yeah, I mean, considering that the cost of living and just the price of things these days is pretty much the top of most New Zealanders' minds, why are we increasing the rates at a time like this, you know, where the economy is trying to recover and people don't have that cash in their pocket?
Yeah, I mean, that's a very good question. It's really all about the costs associated with the CRL. Now, we've known this is coming for some time and we've signalled it for a couple of years. But basically, when we take ownership of the CRL and it opens, date to be finalised, because no one really knows yet, other than it will be before Christmas in the second half of this year, that comes at a big cost. And that cost, it's a multi-million dollar cost of about $235 million. And that cost covers things like running the trains and the station, the interest costs on the capital investment, all that kind of stuff. And it comes up to that big figure of $235 million. And that is really the 7.9%. Now, all the things I talked to you about before, playground investment, transport investment, and other things other than the CRL, like bus, water quality investment, natural environment, all, you know, the free events that we put on, like Diwali, Lantern Festival, all that, all those other costs we are absorbing because we have done a huge amount in saving money and being fiscally responsible. And I've talked to you about that before, you know. So this really, this plan, and asking that very first question is saying, with all the work that we're going to do, all the projects we're going to do, we're looking at covering a lot of that cost ourselves before we've come to you, noting that our income from rates is in the late 30%, it's well under 40%. So we are doing our bit to try and take that pain away because it's really driven by the cost of the CRL.
Yeah. Once the rates increase, will they still be below that 40% threshold, or are they going to contribute to more? Okay.
No. We're keeping that. We've always tried to keep, you know, we've always made sure that we've got money from other sources before we've gone to the ratepayer. But as I said, it is a big number, but it's mainly driven from the CRL. I mean, you could argue that we've got a zero rates increase to pay for everything else. Because literally that cost for the CRL is that total 7.9%. But look, then we ask a second question, which is there are some changes to some other rates, fees and charges. There's, for example, an extension of a business improvement district in Kingsland and a reduction in Onehunga. There's an increase in residential parking permit fees. I think we realise that the value of the road corridor in some places that have residential parking permits is key, so that's going up potentially from $70, which it is at the moment, to $114. We ask Aucklanders about what the local boards want to do in their local areas. Every local board, all 21 local boards, have a work program, and we ask Aucklanders to check in and see what's happening in their backyard and whether they like it or want more of something, less of something, or whatever. We ask for some general feedback on anything that anything else that Aucklanders would like to have a say on. And then the last two questions are about looking further ahead. So we sort of say to Aucklanders, what are the most important areas to you going forward? And we ask them to rank them from one, which is the most important, to least the least important. And they're things like local economic development and events, local parks, planning and infrastructure, regional parks, transport, flood resilience. What do you want us to concentrate more on or less on? What are your priorities? And then finally, that last question is all about the city centre. You know, it's the heart of our region, arguably for some, and then we're asking Aucklanders to select up to four improvements that they think that we should prioritise in that city centre. So is it events in city life? Is it getting around better? Is it safety? Is it streets and public spaces? Is it supporting businesses? So those are the questions we're asking Aucklanders and asking them to have their say.
Interesting. It feels as though a lot of the topics and priorities are quite based around infrastructure, which is definitely, you know, important and a priority for a lot of people. But we've had a couple of people in the text speaking about concerns about things like homelessness in the city and how we can better support our more vulnerable people who are doing it particularly hard. You know, we've had a huge rise in homelessness in the past year. I'm wondering as to whether there's much space within the feedback for the annual plan for airing those concerns.
Look, there are. I mean, I think everyone acknowledges that this is a problem that isn't a one size, you know, isn't an easy fix, and it's not done by one agency, right? And it actually needs to be joined up with the central government. And it's really important that we have the social services available to support our most vulnerable. And that is a central government role. So we do need to be very much joined up. And I think this is something that you know, in this year of central government elections, that will be an issue, you know, for a lot of people to talk to about with prospective MPs and government leaders.
Do you feel as though central and local government are on the same page about their approaches to social welfare and homelessness?
Look, I think local government and central government, regardless of your political colour or flavour or who's in and who's not, have to be joined up on these key things. You know, they have to come, if they don't fully agree, they have to agree on that which they do agree. It's like the Venn diagram, you know. Let's find the bit in the middle that we all agree on, because, I mean, at the end of the day, our city is their country, and together there are a number of things that we need to work on together to be successful. And if Auckland succeeds, New Zealand succeeds, you know. Tamaki Makaurau is incredibly important to our nation's economy, and our people are key to that. All our people, every one of them. And I think, you know, we just do. We've got to put all, you know, colours aside politically and actually focus on what is the most important thing of all. Te tangata, te tangata, te tangata. It's people, it's people, it's people.
I want to touch on briefly before we leave you the lithium battery fires we've seen happening with rubbish trucks across the city. This is alarming.
Oh, it certainly is.
Mm. Yeah.
Look, I mean, the big problem here is, as a consumable society, lithium-ion batteries are pretty much in so much of things that we use every day. You know, laptops, mobile phones, e-bikes, vapes even, you know. And people use these batteries are in all different types of things that we use, and then they want to get rid of them. Now, you know, a lot of people need to be educated, and this is where I would love you guys to do some, you know, promo on your station around, you know, how to get rid of this stuff, because people just throw it away in a bin. And it could be a public bin or it could be your red bin. And actually what happens is that those batteries ignite fires really, really fast. So you can go from, you know, 37 degrees Celsius to 565 degrees Celsius in under 30 seconds. Mm. And that causes a fire in the truck. And when the fire gets caused in the truck, it has to be dumped straight away. And the cleanup costs about $5,000 for us. Whoa. Every time that happens. Mm. And it's happening more and more frequently. Now, I'm going to say something that probably won't make me very popular with my own team at Auckland Council. But at the moment, disposing of these batteries is hard. You've got to drop them off at places like Mitre 10 or Bunnings or a community recycling centre. And people, frankly, Millie and Rosetta, can't be bothered, right? So I think we are looking for really easy solutions to try and make this easier for people to get rid of them.
Yes, because like sites where people can drop them off.
Yeah,
more
we've
of them.
Got them. We've got them, but actually you pretty much have to get in your car and drive them and drop them off, you know?
Mm.
And yet everyone's got a bin in their backyard, and there's a public rubbish bin, you know, and you know, lots of public rubbish bins, well, probably not as many as people would like, but, you know, we have to do better in that space. So, until we get to a place where some magical young genius finds out how we can get rid of these batteries really quickly, you know, our message is around those safe disposal options, and I've sort of said e-waste collection days and things like that. But I think my message to you, to help you help us, is please don't put them in the public bin, and please don't put them in your red bin, you know, because that is costing us, and it's actually really dangerous.
Mm.
There's a rule. These rubbish truck drivers, they just have to dump that load straight away. And, you know, that's causing all sorts of hassle for us from a cost-wise. And just literally, you know, we had one the other day. It dumped on State Highway 20, and it shut that road down for 4 hours. Huge amount of inconvenience for people.
Someone's got a suggestion for you in the text line. You could put a battery recycling bin at every train station.
Brilliant. Love it. Let me take that idea away. Whoever that person is, genius. Thank you.
Get them in council.
But why haven't we thought of this before? You know, it seems like sort of a thing that we should have been thinking of ages ago, and all of this could have been avoided.
I know. Actually, I think that potentially, I mean, I think the trouble is when they get dumped, it's how they get dumped, though, too. I mean, it's not just about having a container, put it in the container. But I think that's a really good idea, conceptually, and I'll certainly take it to our waste team. I promise you today, because it is an issue for us, absolutely. So thank that person very much.
Okay, so don't put your lithium batteries in the bin, people. No. If you're listening, don't do it.
Thank you.
Very good. Okay, thank you so much, Desley.
Thanks, Desley.
No worries. Have a wonderful day.
You
thank
too.
You.
Ka kite.
Bye.
Ka kite. Bye now.
That was Is Missing That with Deputy Mayor Desley Simpson.